From the campuses of Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, and Colgate University in Hamilton, New York, the National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Good Housekeeping Magazine, presents the transcribed College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, Cornell University is out to challenge the varsity scholars from Colgate University, the school that returns to the College Quiz Bowl for the third straight week. And now, here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Hi there, everybody. It's good to have you with us for another intercollegiate battle of the brains. Tonight, it's another all-male contest with four men from Cornell and four men from Colgate battling it out here in the Quiz Bowl. Now, let's get along with the game and meet the teams. First, let's go far above Cayuga's waters to the campus of Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, where Joel Marinus of station WSYR Syracuse will referee for Cornell. Are you there, Joel?
Right here, Alan, and so is the Big Red of Cornell. The men listened to Colgate's strategy against Columbia last week, and they think they figured out a few fast plays of their own. All right, team, step up and say hello.
Bruce Richmond from Cambria Heights, Long Island.
Keith Johnson, Ithaca, New York.
Tony Kudner from New York City.
Alan Natapoff, New York City.
All right, there you have the challenging team from Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. Now let's move across and up to Hamilton, New York, where another WSYR man and a good station is WSYR. Bob Whitney, again, is standing by to referee for the Colgate University team. Are you there, Bob?
You bet I am, Alan. So is the Colgate team. They topped Mount Holyoke, topped Columbia, and now say, come on, Cornell. Then introduce yourself.
Paul Smith from Hudson, New Hampshire.
Peter Gould from South Devon, England.
Marty Hyatt, New York City.
Jim Wachtel, New York City.
All right, you've met both teams. Now, before Roger Tuttle explains our rules, may I point out that we recognize the fact that here in the College Quiz Bowl, we're putting the emphasis on a quick recall of specific facts. But we're also trying to give you an opportunity to meet a few of the many remarkable, well-rounded personalities to be found today on every American campus. Now, how about the rules, Roger?
Right, Alan, and here they are. Alan Ludden asks a toss-up question worth 10 points. And the first team to signal it knows the answer gets a chance to answer it. When Colgate University signals, you'll hear... And when Cornell University signals, you'll hear... By means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here in New York City and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. Now, if a team gives a wrong answer to the toss-up question, the other team is given a chance to answer it. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question worth a stated number of points. The team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and returns next week to defend its title here in the College Quiz Bowl.
Thank you, Roger. Now, remember, teams, you may interrupt the toss-up question before I finished asking it. But if you do, and if your answer is wrong, your team will be penalized 5 points, and I'll repeat the question, giving the other team a free crack at it. Okay, those are the rules, and that's the opening whistle, so let's go. Your first toss-up tonight could earn you a chance at a 30-point bonus. Here's the toss-up. To what activity other than parenthood would I be referring if I said, I'm holding the baby because it may be a sleeper and I might get a melon? Colgate.
Jim Wachtel.
Racing.
Can you take it, Cornell?
Bruce Richmond.
Stock market. Dealing with stocks and bonds, buying and selling in Wall Street.
That's right, for 10 points. Holding a baby is an act of hanging on to stock. A sleeper is a stock whose value is not at once apparent. And a melon is a large dividend declared by a company. Okay, by waiting, Cornell, you got a chance at a 30-point bonus here. Grass is getting greener, you know, and the crocuses... What's the plural for crocuses? The crocusi are up or out. And now is as good a time as any to talk about fictional farmers and amateur gardeners. You'll get 10 points each time, Cornell. You'll give me the correct answer. First of all, what was the name of a fictional farmer who had a hard time protecting his cabbage patch?
Peter Rabbit.
McGregor.
What?
Mr. McGregor.
Mr. McGregor is right for 10 points. All right, now, in what book does a character spend 8 years on a project for extracting sunbeams out of cucumbers?
Gee, what was that? That was by...
Sunbeams out of cucumbers.
The conference, Alan.
Yeah.
Sunbeams out of cucumbers.
Time is called Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift. This is in the Voyage to Laputa. All right, here we go. You can get 10 more points if you'll tell me. What author in a famous novel gave this philosophical advice? Cultivate your garden.
Oh, that's
Voltaire and Candide.
Voltaire and Candide, right. Okay. A 25-point bonus is coming up. Here's your toss-up for 10 points. What goddess got griped when she didn't receive an invitation to a wedding party? Colgate.
Paul Schmidt.
That was Eris, the goddess of discourse at the wedding of Peleus and Thetis.
That's right for 10 points. All right, Colgate, here you go with a 25-point bonus. Now, for 25 points, what fictional character gave the following rendition of Hamlet's soliloquy? Now, let me recite it all. You got a lot of time. To be or not to be, that is the rare bodkin that makes calamity of so long life. For who would fardels bear till Burnham Wood do came to Dunsinane? What character? What fictional character?
Sounds like the comic.
No, it's the Duke in Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn. I'm sorry, Colgate, but that's a good quote if you've got it, all right? Now, before we move along to another toss-up question, let's find out what the stakes are in this game. Roger Tuttle?
Each week, Good Housekeeping Magazine will award to the school of the winning team a $500 gift to be administered by the college. It may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive, dependable Whitnor wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnor family of fine watches, since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character.
All right.
Well, those are the stakes, Alan, and I'll give you the time and score. 21 minutes to go. The score, Cornell has 30, Colgate has 10. Back to another toss-up question.
All right, here we go to the toss-up question. The bonus in the offing is worth 25 points. For 10 points, who was the fourth man in Army's famed backfield, which included Blanchard, Davis, and Tucker? Cornell.
Shorty McWilliams.
Can you take it, Colgate?
Jim Wachtel.
Arnold Galiffa.
No, Herschel Fuson. All right. We got another toss-up question coming up here. 25-point bonus is still coming up. Here's your toss-up for 10 points. Who in literature is described as being undaunted by hobgoblin and foul fiend, unafraid of lion and giant? Cornell.
Bruce Richmond.
Quickly, can you take it, Colgate? No,
thank you, Jim Wachtel.
No, a pilgrim in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I'd read you the whole verse, but we don't have time. Here we go. 25 points still coming up. Here's your toss-up. The Eohippus has 5 toes. For 10 points, how many toes does the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild, Colgate?
Jim Wachtel.
3.
Penalize you 5 points, Colgate, for interrupting a toss-up question. I'll repeat the entire question for Cornell. The Eohippus has 5 toes. For 10 points, how many toes does the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild of the Eohippus have?
Tony Kovner.
1.
None. He has a hook.
Well, that's one toe.
Can we take that?
Uh-huh.
All right. Uh-huh. We'll accept it. 1 or none. All right. He has a hook. Okay. Did you know that the Eohippus was an early horse?
Yes. Definitely.
Well, good boy.
Eohippus, mesohippus, they're all really good.
I didn't even know about the mesohippus. All right, here we go with a 25-point bonus, Cornell. Here's a geography word game for a quick 5 points apiece. You're to identify the following foreign cities. You could earn 25 points on this one. Now, all of these foreign cities have names that sound like other things. You ready? The Siamese city, whose name sounds like a loud noise...
Bangkok.
The rooster.
Bangkok.
Bangkok is right for 5 points. Okay. The Lebanese city. The Lebanese city, whose name sounds like a body of water and the subterranean part of a plant.
Beirut,
right, for 5 points. Okay. The Dutch city, whose name sounds very much like a Cockney pronunciation of a soft little furry rodent. And an oath.
Would it be Hague? Rotterdam.
Amsterdam, right for 5 points. Amsterdam. All right. The Indian city whose name sounds like a special compartment in the fuselage of a military aircraft.
Bombay,
5 points. Okay. The German city whose name sounds like a high jump and the opposite of zag.
Opposite of what?
Of zag.
Munich?
Zig.
Danzig. Danzig?
No, wait.
Time is called Leipzig.
Leipzig.
All right. That was a far one, but you didn't get our scoring time right.
Right now, 17 and a half minutes to go. Cornell has 60 points. Colgate has 5.
Colgate, you can top with this one because I got a 40. You can tie him with this one. I got a 45-point bonus in the offing, and here's a 10-point toss-up. You ready? For 10 points, what civil liberties? Pardon me. What civil rights lawyer was evidently named after the 21st, the 20th, and the 19th presidents of the United States? Colgate.
Marty Hyatt.
John Garfield Hayes.
Oh, can you take it, Cornell?
Bruce Richmond, can you take it?
Cleveland.
No, Robert I'm sorry, Cleveland. No, it's out. Arthur Garfield Hayes, the 21st, 20th, and 19th. President Arthur, President Garfield, and President Hayes. Okay, still in the offing of the 45-point bonus. Here's your toss-up. For 10 points, complete this relationship question. Charles Martel was to the Moors at Tours as Miltiades was to the Persians where? Colgate.
Peter Gould.
Marathon.
Right, for 10 points. Marathon. Okay, Colgate, here is a 45-point bonus question. It's on literature. I'm going to read you the opening lines of three well-known books. Now, this is a tough question, so I'll give you 15 points each time you correctly identify the book and the author from which the quotations come. I'm reading the opening lines and giving a chance to read them all. First, it is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife.
How about Jim Wachtel?
Pride and Prejudice.
Yes, by whom?
Jane Austen.
By Jane Austen, right, for 15 points. Okay. This is the opening line. Give you the author and the name of the book. One thing was certain, that the white kitten had had nothing to do with it. It was the black kitten's fault entirely.
It's Through the Looking Glass by
Lewis Carroll.
Right, for 15 points. Okay, now let me read all of this. Let me read all of this one. While the present century was in its teens and on one sunshiny morning in June, there drove up to the great iron gate of Miss Pinkerton's Academy for Young Ladies on Cheswick Mall a large family coach with two fat horses and blazing harness, driven by a fat coachman in a three-cornered hat and wig at the rate of 4 miles an hour.
That's Vanity Fair, Thackeray.
Right, for 50. Roger.
Right now, Alan, we have 14 and a half minutes to go, and I think they did what you said. They have now tied. Cornell 60, Colgate has 60.
Right. Tie. Here we go. With a toss-up, musical bonus, a 30-point musical bonus in the offing. Here is your toss-up. 10 points. Tell us, by what device did Daphne dodge Apollo? Colgate.
Paul Schmidt.
She was turned into a laurel tree.
Right. By turning into a laurel tree. Okay, Colgate, you got a 10-30-point musical bonus here. Now listen very carefully. We're going to test your ability to distinguish between string instruments. All of these that you're going to hear are strummed in one way or another. Now listen to the three, then give me your answer. But now listen. I want you to listen to all three, and I'll accept only three answers, and I want you to identify them in the number in which you hear them. By the number in which you hear them. First.
Okay.
Two. Number one, number two, number three. All right, now, one, two, three. What is one?
One is a banjo.
What is two?
Guitar.
What is the three?
Zither.
Oh, you got 20 out of 30. But banjo, guitar, right, ukulele for number three. Okay, scoring time now, Roger.
Right now, 13 minutes to go. Colgate has 90 points. Cornell has 60 points.
All right. I got a 30-point mathematical bonus in the offing. Here's your toss-up. At the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin made a cryptic remark that is often quoted. Colgate.
Marty Hyatt.
We must all hang together, or most assuredly, we will all hang separately.
That is right for 10 points. I didn't ask the question. Ask. The cryptic remark mentions a form of corporal punishment for 10 points quoted, and brother, you did, so you got a 30-point mathematical bonus, Colgate. I want you to get your papers and pencils ready. First of all, take the number, the year in which Lee surrendered to Grant.
1865.
Multiply by the number of lines in a sonnet.
14.
And subtract the number of legs possessed by the creature that scared Miss Muffet. And for 30 points, give me your numerical answer.
Short conference, Alan.
All right.
The line is being drawn. Here comes the total.
All right. I'm waiting breathlessly, but time is running out.
All right.
Hey, wait a second, Alan. You have to subtract eight.
A second.
All right.
Two.
Jim Wachtel is the answer.
26102.
26102 is right.
Hold it, Alan. That's the halftime whistle, which calls for a one-minute timeout right now.
Okay, thank you, Rogers. We're going to talk to the teams now, but first, may I remind you that each month, Good Housekeeping Magazine runs a page of college quiz bowl questions. Now, for a chance to match your wits with our collegiate champions, see the March issue of Good Housekeeping Magazine. Good Housekeeping also awards the $500 weekly cash prize, you know, that goes to the college of our winning teams here in our Radio College Quiz Bowl. Now let's take out a minute and talk to our teams. First, meet these bright challengers up at the far above Cayuga's waters at Cornell. Tony Kovner, how are you classified up there?
Well, I'm a sophomore, and I'm in the Arts and Sciences School, Alan.
What's going to be your major?
English, I think.
Why did you pick Cornell?
Well, frankly, it's the best.
That's what they told us last week about Colgate, but I... Okay. Alan Natapov. Why are you classified?
I'm a junior, Alan.
What's your major?
I'm a physics major.
What are your plans upon graduation?
Well, I'd like to go to graduate school somewhere.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to the Bronx High School of Science.
A public school?
That's right.
Right, okay. Keith Johnson, how are you classified?
I'm a junior, Alan. I'm majoring in history.
Your plans upon graduation?
Law school or perhaps the ministry.
Good boy. All right, Bruce Richmond, how are you classified?
I'm a senior up here, Alan.
Major?
English.
What are you going to do when you graduate?
Well, right now, I'm afraid it's the Army. I'm trying to get a commission in the Naval Air Intelligence.
Well, I hope the Army didn't hear you say that, but it's all right. So congratulations to the Cornell team. Now let's move over to Colgate, and I want to talk to Paul Schmidt. Paul Schmidt, how much money has Colgate won in the College Quiz Bowl?
Well, so far we won $1,000.
Do you have any specific plans for the use of that $1,000?
Well, we do. You see, here at Colgate, we're about to start our first major capital gifts campaign since the 1920s. And our objective is to raise $3,300,000 over the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. How are you going to raise it?
Well, we hope that it'll all come from gifts from alumni and friends of liberal education. We want to build a new library, expand our present gym, and provide an endowment for faculty salaries.
I like that last best. Okay, now I think the only thing to do is to urge all Cornell alumnus and all people interested in furthering education, and everybody should be, to give and give generously. How do you give? How do you send money?
Send it to Colgate.
Where do they send it at Colgate?
You can send it to Howie Jones, in charge of the development office.
Just write Colgate and they'll tell you.
That's right.
All right, here we go. Sounds like our time-up period is up.
That it is, Alan, and the whistle tells us to get back to the contest right now. With Cornell has 60, Colgate has 130. We have 9 minutes to go and back to another toss-up.
All right, coming up is a singing bonus worth 30 points. Here's your toss-up for 10 points. What do a kind of ape and the author of a standard classic on historic ups and downs have in common? Colgate.
Jim Wachtel.
That's Gibbons, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. Gibbon is a type of ape.
All right, so they have in common the same name. I assume that's what you're saying. It is the answer in question. All right, you got it for 10 points. Okay, Colgate. Now, it's time to sing. You're going to earn 30 points now if you'll sing back to me the line that follows the one I sing, and all you got to do is hit the tune as well as I do. Are you ready? You ready, Colgate?
Yeah, we're ready.
The line that follows the one I sing. In your Easter bonnet with all the frills upon it,
you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade.
10 points! See, I think I was better than you were there.
Thank you.
Much better.
All right, here we go. Hold on to your hat. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air,
gave proof to life that the fight was still there.
Hit point! All right, here we go. Oh, I've forgotten the tune. Don't you know I love you so?
Kokomo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But what's the word?
He'd probably repeat the same thing. Don't you know I love you so?
Sing it.
Don't you know I love you so?
Right!
That's all I sing, Alan.
When I holler, hey, Kokomo, I would have accepted that.
Yeah,
okay, here we go. Score in time now, Roger.
Right now, 7 minutes to go. Colgate has 170 against Cornell's 60 points.
And I got a 20-point bonus in the offer. Here's your toss-up. A poem. A poem by a late 19th-century English poet concludes with the line, "Blossom by blossom, the spring begins." For 10 points, quote the very familiar first line of this poem. Cornell.
Bruce Richmond.
Is it Elizabeth R. Browning's Ode to Be in England Now That April's There?
Can you take it, Colgate?
Go ahead, Peter Gould.
I can't do it.
When the hounds of spring are on winter's traces. Swinburne's Hounds of Spring. All right, still coming up at 20-point bonus. Here's the toss-up. Her real name was Gertrude Zila. Her nationality was Dutch. Her profession, the dance. For 10 points, who was she? Colgate.
Jim Wachtel.
Is it Pavlovna?
Can you take it, Cornell?
What's her name? Is it Dora Duncan?
No, Mata Hari, the Dutch dancer turned spy. Still in the offing, a 20-point bonus. Here's your toss-up. For 10 points, name the fictional ship that is manned by the following men. Flask. Daegu. Keyway. Colgate.
Jim Wachtel.
Moby Dick. Oh, the ship is...
Hold it. You accept it? No. You interrupted the toss-up question. I penalize you 5 points, Colgate. One answer only on a toss-up. I know, but I didn't get it the first one. I'll take only one answer on a toss-up. All right, hold it. We've got to be strict on this. Only one answer on a toss-up. I'm repeating the question for Cornell. For 10 points, name the fictional ship that is manned by the following men.
Alan.
Daegu, Queequeg, and Mr. Stubbs.
Al Nadipoff will try that.
Pequot.
The Pequot is right for 10 points. All right, I'm penalizing Cornell Colgate 5 points. I'm sorry, but I can only accept the first answer I hear on a toss-up. No conference, no corrections. Here we go. 20-point bonus for you, Cornell. It's a bonus question on physical facts and scientific miscellany. For a quick 5 points apiece, I want you to give me your correct answer. Which is heavier, a quart of light cream or a quart of heavy cream?
Heavier or a quart of... The heavy cream is probably...
Light cream is heavier. Right for 5 points. All right, work fast. Who usually has more hairs on her head? A blonde or a redhead?
Red. We can try something quick.
Red. No, wait a second.
Hurry, time.
Blonde
is right for 5 points. Okay. All right. Which weighs more? A cubic foot of warm water or a cubic foot of cold water?
Above 4 degrees, a cubic foot of cold water.
Cold water is the right answer for 5 points. Okay. Which flies faster? A hummingbird, a chimney swift, or an eagle?
A hummingbird flies the fastest.
No, an eagle, clocked at the rate of 120 miles per hour. Okay, score in time now, Roger.
Right now, 4 minutes to go. Colgate has 165. Cornell has climbed up to 85, Alan.
All right, a 30-point bonus is in the offing. Here's your toss-up. If you were suffering from malaria for 10 points, would the doctor be most apt to prescribe a medicine derived from foxglove, cinchona bark, or... Colgate.
Paul Schmidt.
Cinchona bark.
Cinchona bark is right for 10 points. You interrupted, but you got the right answer. Or seaweed, I was to ask. You got a 30-point bonus, Colgate. You know, very often, actual geographic place names are mentioned in familiar poems. For instance, Robert Browning's Pied Piper. No, not for instance. This is the question. All right. Robert Browning's Pied Piper came to Hamelin Town. Now, for 10 points... Near what German city is Hamelin located?
Is it Bremen?
No, Hanover. Hamelin's town in Brunswick by famous Hanover City, from the poem itself. All right, the hero of an old ballad, Sir Patrick Spens, was from Dunfermline Town. Now, for 10 points, in what country is Dunfermline?
That's in Scotland.
That's right, Peter, you would know that, of course, for 10 points. Okay, now, Sidney Lanier, in his poem, Song of the Chattahoochee, Song of the Chattahoochee mentions the hills of Habersham and the valleys of Hall. For 10 points, in what state in the United States are Habersham and Hall?
Georgia,
right for 10 points. Okay, I got a 30-point musical bonus coming up next. A 30-point musical bonus in the offing. Here's a toss-up that could earn it for you. Richard Saunders reputedly wrote it, Many people consult it and quote it. For 10 points, what is it? Note takers, Poor Richard's Almanac, written under the pseudonym of Richard Saunders. Benjamin Franklin writing it, of course. Okay, here's another toss-up. Coming still is a 30-point musical bonus. For 10 points, tell us, what unpopular job is held by a man named T. Coleman Andrews? Colgate.
Marty Hired.
He's Director of Internal Revenue.
That's right, for 10 points, Marty. Okay, you got a 30-point bonus, Colgate. It's a musical bonus on ballet music. The musical bonus on ballet music often performed with great success. 10 points each time you identify the ballet. First?
That's Swan Lake, Alan.
That's right.
For 10 points.
Okay, what is the name of this ballet, popular ballet? What did I hear?
No.
Okay, time is called. That is Sleeping Beauty by Tchaikovsky. All right, what is this ballet performed? That is Tchaikovsky. That's Nutcracker Suite, right, for 10 points. All right, we got a 20-point bonus in the offing. Here's your toss-up. A cormorant, a bird. For 10 points, what's a corgi? Colgate.
That's a dog from Wales.
That's a dog, right, for 10 points. Colgate, you got a 20-point bonus here. Now, you can earn 20 points simply by telling me the name of the three states in the United States that extend respectively farthest north, farthest east, and farthest west.
Okay, Minnesota is farthest north.
Right. Maine
is farthest east.
Right.
Florida is farthest south.
No. California. Farthest west.
Farthest west.
What did I hear?
Washington.
Right. For 20 points. 20 points. You got all of them. Minnesota farthest north. Maine farthest east. Washington farthest west. 20 points for Colgate there. Coming up with a 20-point bonus, here's your toss-up. For 10 points, in the game of basketball, how high is the basketball hook from the floor? Colgate.
Jim Wachtel.
Alan, we won't have time. I'm sorry. The game is up. We'll have to hold that question for next week.
Well, the answer is 10 feet.
Okay. The final score in tonight's College Quiz Bowl is 85 points for Cornell and 255 points for the winner, Colgate University.
Wow.
To each member of the Cornell University team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitnor wristwatch. A distinguished member of the Longines Whitnor family of fine watches. Since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. For fielding the winning team tonight, Colgate University will receive a $500 gift from Good Housekeeping Magazine to be administered by the cup. And these varsity scholars from Colgate will return next week to compete in this new All-American quiz game with the varsity scholars of Duke University in Durham, North Carolina. In the meantime, to try your hand at more of these questions, read the Quiz Bowl page in the March issue of Good Housekeeping Magazine. Here once again, your cheerleader, Mr. Alan
Lutton. Oh, I'm not cheerleading, but I'm glad to hear the cheers. I want to congratulate the Cornell team. You did a great job. Tony Kovner, Alan Natapoff, Keith Johnson, and Bruce Richmond. You were wonderful. Colgate, you were sensational. Next week, you're going to meet the Duke scholars from Duke University. Next week, Colgate meets Duke in the final game of this year's exciting College Quiz Bowl season. So I invite you to join us, won't you? This is Alan Lutton saying now, be with us next week for our last big game here in the College Quiz Bowl. So long, everybody. Bye. Can I have wild applause from both audiences? Now's a good time to cheer.
While we give the credit, that is, Alan, your referees tonight were, for Colgate University, Bob Whitney of Station WSYR Syracuse, and for Cornell University, Joe Marinus, also of Station WSYR in Syracuse.
I want to congratulate the SYR, too.
And we must admit the judges were here in New York City, even though both referees were from Syracuse.
Yes.
College Quiz Bowl is a transcribed NBC Radio Network presentation, originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed, written by Nancy Forbes and directed by Ken McGregor.
Join Clifton Fadiman and his guests for another conversation tonight on most NBC radio stations.